Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Hello and welcome to episode 22 of my podcast, I Shouldn't Say This But. My name is Katie Leeson and I'm Managing Director of Social Chain UK. And with me, as always, is Producer Dodds.
Hello. Have we got Friday feeling? Our first ever Friday episode.
This is our first ever Friday episode. Welcome to the Friday
and
edition
the
of the podcast.
I wish I had a bottle of champagne or something.
Welcome to the weekend. Which is weird because we recorded this on a Tuesday.
Yeah. That's okay.
I'm going to come out of this meeting feeling very hyped for the weekend.
Yes,
you might be able to hear Louis. Louis is just currently making some funny noises because I think he wants to eat the pancakes that I have left. Under this new format, what we are going to do is, because we've had a load more admission submissions through the website, we're going to make the focus of that and the start of this podcast the admission submission. Then I'm going to go into some personal admissions from the week, more like things that really irritate me, which I hope you can sympathise and I hope you're on the same page as me, because otherwise I'll come across just weird. Yeah, that's the word. Couldn't think of it. So I hope you can relate to those two. And then finally, we will do my own personal admission, which this week is all about how we should fix and how we need to fix the education system and how education is flawed. Shall we jump straight in?
How do you feel about the new format, Katie?
I like the new format. It's fun.
Once we'd figured out how we could... get more of these admission submissions in, which were a bit complicated at first, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a bit. It took a while for me to get my head around it.
Both of us, but now we're...
But we are okay. We're okay.
3 episodes a week, that's exciting.
3 episodes a week, I know. Thank you so much for listening, guys, and listening to me for 3 episodes a week. I feel very privileged. So first things first, let's get on with the admission submission. We keep getting loads of these, so I'm super excited. This is my favourite part of the show. Please keep them coming in. If you want to submit your own, it's www.katieleeson.com. This one reads, "My friends are a bad influence." And the message says, "Hi, Katie. I'm a 17-year-old female living in the Czech Republic, and I'm trying to start up my own fashion business. But whenever I put myself out there, my friends mock me for being a nerd and unrealistic with my expectations. Or when I show them my work or something cool that I've done, they're never impressed and point out what's wrong with it. What should I do?" Oh, this one is something that I think I can probably relate to. As I was growing up, I always tried to be something that I probably wasn't. And I tried to please other people rather than pleasing myself. So I chose my friends based on what that social circle and people in school would think of me rather than what was going to make me happy. And I thought that was the right thing. But in reality, that made me very uncomfortable. So my advice for this person is making sure that you surround yourself with the people that are going to help you with your journey. What's going to help you hit that mission statement? What's going to help you make your own fashion business and elevate you and give you advice and tips and help that can make things better, rather than people that are just going to put you down and make you more self-critical and kind of stop you in your own path? So for me, what I've learned over the years is surround yourself with people that are going to build you up rather than tear you down.
Love it.
Right. Moving on to my personal admissions from the week. I shouldn't say this, but don't spend time on haters.
Ain't nobody got time for that, am I right?
No. Last week was a funny week because we put out the video, the Nike advert video, and we put it on Instagram. And I focused, as I always do, focused on the negative comments rather than the positive comments. Dodds tells me off for it all the time. And this is why I shouldn't say it, because I don't do it myself. But the response that we had was really infuriating. I think we had about 3 comments from people. I say people, they were men, hating on the fact that the Nike advert was empowering women. And one of them just made a stupid comment that had nothing to do with the advert or anything to do with me about the fact that I must hate men.
Because you were saying well done to women.
Because I said that the Nike advert was good at empowering females and female athletes.
It's a bit of a stretch, isn't it, really?
I just don't get why you'd waste your time. I don't understand what makes someone put that much effort into being so negative. It takes so much more to be negative than it does to be positive. I don't understand why you'd continue to watch a piece of content if you felt the need to say something really negative about it. It's like watching TV or watching a film. You don't continue to watch it just to make yourself angry.
Like, I don't like Emmerdale, so I don't watch Emmerdale.
Emmerdale, yeah, and then start writing that you hate Emmerdale?
Yeah. It's like, that's the equivalent, isn't it? It's madness.
So that's the first time I've really experienced stupid trolls.
Can I just say that it wasn't me that said it? No, can I just say that thank you to all the nice comments, because we're giving time to the haters, but there was lots and lots, way more than 3, at least 4. No, there's lots and lots of nice comments, so thank you for those. But yeah, we're dwelling on the haters. But
yes,
after this, we're just... So what advice would you give, Katie, to somebody who's facing the haters? Now you've faced them.
Yeah,
now
so you've challenged them. The reason that we're talking about it is because I shouldn't focus on them, and I should focus on the positive rather than the negative. And it is my natural reaction to focus on the negative and like obsess over it rather than look at all the positive. And last week we had so many positive comments and a lot of positive updates. I did a talk last week for the Telegraph, and they've actually asked me to go back on in the summer because they thought that I was good. So I shouldn't focus on 3 stupid people's comments on an Instagram post.
Yeah.
So my tip is to, in the words of Frozen, just let it go.
Wow, love it.
Thanks. Second little personal mission is I shouldn't say this, but don't have a Brexit-themed dinner party.
And why is that?
Well, me and my friends decided that we were going to do Come Dine With Me, and each couple were going to host a night. I was the first night, and I thought, what could my theme be? What can I cook? So I started by thinking, what is easy to cook and what can I prepare in advance so I don't stress myself out on the night?
Smart. Are you giving away your tactics to the other two?
Oh, yeah, God, no, I am. Never mind. So I did. I thought, I can do lasagna and I can cook that in advance and it's always very tasty.
I can vouch.
And Dodds has since
tried
had some.
It's delicious.
So I made lasagna and I thought, what else can I do? I know what I'll do. Brexit's coming up. Food's going to get mega expensive. We might not be able to eat food and drink wine from Europe because it might cost too much. Let's do a dinner party with all the foods that we love but we might not be able to have again.
Sort of like a last supper for the European
Union
and the UK.
Food.
Nice.
So I did like a mezze tapas-y starter. Then I did lasagna for main, and then I handmade profiteroles. People are getting sick of me talking about this, but I made them from scratch.
if that doesn't get you the points to win, I don't know
exactly. And then I did a cheese board because cheese is going to get mega expensive as well.
So how did the Brexit themed dinner party go down, and why are you recommending not doing it? It sounds delicious.
I know. Well, in my mind, I thought the food would be the focus, and everyone would be really happy that we're eating nice food. In reality, we all sat down at the table after the theme was announced, and all the men at the table started arguing about Brexit and politics. Whoopsie.
And that didn't...
Did not think that through. I did not think that through. So I started off the dinner party with a little bit of tension, should
I say.
Heated
debate. Good spirited or heated? The long pause and the facial pulling suggests heated.
Heated for a small time, but it didn't last. So it was a very good evening. But please think about the conversation topics before thinking of your dinner party theme.
So your tip is to pick, when it comes to picking your menu, pick a light-hearted theme.
Yes. Don't pick something.
For your dinner parties.
Yeah.
And that's the sort of value that you get from this podcast, the real...
Hey, this is important life lessons.
This is important life lessons.
And my final little one for the week is, I shouldn't say this, but... I think it's more I should say this, but today is International Women's Day, and we should all celebrate the powerful, inspirational females in our lives. So I should say this, but let's celebrate each other. That's my only point on that. I think let's look after each other, let's empower each other, let's build each other up, and have a wonderful International Women's Day.
Lovely. And that will really piss off the three people that commented on your Instagram. So that's really nice.
Because I hate men, obviously. Yeah. No, we're not thinking about them anymore.
We've moved on.
Now it is time for my big personal admission of the week. This week it is, I shouldn't say this, but here's how to fix the education system. Something that I talked about on stage when I was at the Telegraph event last week is that education has been in my life even up until today. Both my parents were teachers, and I have seen both sides of the education system. Obviously, I've been through it all the way up to uni, but also I've seen the sort of career side of it. And I've got friends now that teach as well. And for me, now working in an industry that is so fast-paced, such as marketing, but especially social media marketing, schools aren't getting young people prepared for leaving and working in our world. We are hiring for jobs that they would have absolutely no idea how to train for. A good example of that is our director of video, Jason Fisher. He joined us when he was just 17, straight from school. And he said to one of his teachers, "When I grow up, this is what job I want to do. I want to be a director of video. I want to be making content. I want to be filming. I want to be editing." And the response from the school was, "You're never going to do that. That job doesn't exist." If you think about how many other children are getting told, must be getting told that on a daily basis, that's absolutely frightening. Mm. And I just think that schools now are teaching children how to pass exams. They're not preparing them for the modern day work. They aren't getting them ready for whether they want to do... it was interesting, actually, because I was talking to my friend on the weekend. He's a scaffolder, and they really struggle to get young people in to start trades now. But I also think that's because schools aren't teaching and looking after children who are academic and telling them that there's other paths that they can go down, including trade, including scaffolding. And... for me, it's time to make a change.
So what would you do?
Schools are, as I mentioned, schools are training children how to pass exams. And the reason that they're doing it is because the better grades they get from their cohorts, the more funding that they will get and the better funding that they will get from government. There's a wider piece here that I don't feel that the schools have got the intention, best intentions of the children at the heart of what they're doing. They're trying to get them to pass exams in order to unlock funding for the next year. And so the cycle continues. For me, I feel like we've got a real responsibility as a business and a growing business and someone who is paving the way of how modern workforces should be run to really make that change and make a difference and try and show people and show children that there's another path to education. You don't have to go to uni. You don't have to get a degree. You don't have to come out with loads of debt. But you can still go down an apprentice route that can give you the life skills that you would get from a university life as well. Because I think the thing is, there's two things. You can leave school, go to uni, get a degree, come out with loads of debt, learn how to live on your own, have that life experience. The other side of it is there's a bit of a perception about apprenticeship schemes where if you don't go to uni, you go and do an apprenticeship scheme, but you live at home, you don't have the life experience, and you just get thrust into work. I think there should be an amalgamation of the two, which is something that we're currently working on how to really train people and young people into the benefits of what it's like to really work in a modern day workforce. We're not like anywhere else, and I understand that. I know that social chain is a bit of an anomaly, but it's also built on the way that young people really want to be working and how they want to spend their work-life balance and what they want to be doing with their careers. And if we can't change it, I don't know who will. So I'm excited about the fact that we are looking to change the way that apprenticeship schemes are done and the way that we are training young people for their future. It was really funny because we were looking to do interviews for teachers for this scheme, and I was watching from afar in a room with like a glass room these interviews take place. And in all the interviews, whilst we had sort of more traditional teacher people come in to interview, the people in the room regressed into like naughty school children because of the way they were getting taught.
Mm.
It was really interesting.
It's interesting, I think, that people are naturally curious. Like, people do want to learn. Kids might be like, oh, they don't like school or whatever, but people are naturally curious.
Yeah.
So they do want to learn things. So the fact that people don't like going to school makes me feel like there's something categorically wrong.
Yeah.
And then you're saying the way that they're being taught, potentially.
The way that they're being taught. So the interviews came in and they were like, they laid down the ground rules. Proper classroom style things. And you could see, it was Steve, Dom and Kira. And you could see how they changed. Their personalities just changed in an instant as soon as they started to get in these rules laid down.
So weird.
It's so funny, and it just shows you that the environment you're in when it labels teaching as a thing that you have to do, the impact that can have on what you actually take from what you're being taught. The way that schools are measuring success is it feels more like a factory. Like, kids are pushed in at one end, they're taught from old textbooks, they're taught certain things, they're not taught up to date skills, and they're taught to learn to pass these exams, and they're pushed out the other end, and you're either good at it or you're bad at it. And it's
like a quality insurance test or whatever.
Yeah, you either pass or fail.
That's not educating somebody for the wider world. It's not educating somebody to pass the quality check.
Exactly. And talking to a lady from the Telegraph last week, it was interesting that she thinks that it's going to take a full generation for the curriculum to catch up with modern workforces, which means we've got a full generation of young people who are going through this education system with a delay on what they're coming out with at the end of it versus what the actual real working world is like.
Yeah, such a gap, isn't there?
Yeah. It's funny because even when I was at school, which is a long time ago, it was more traditional courses that they taught. So my A-levels that I did were more traditional. So I did politics, English combined, sociology and art.
I did sociology. High five.
High five to sociology.
Cereal packet families, am I right? That's literally the only thing I remember.
Oh, dear. But there was no real, apart from my art, which I wasn't very good. I'm not very good at drawing or painting. I would never have really known about media if I hadn't then, as we talked last week, failed my A-levels and got onto a degree that I didn't even know existed, because my school wasn't teaching me for that path. It was teaching me for more traditional subjects. So I'm probably a good example of that. But I've managed to get through into this world in a completely different way.
Yeah, so the system let you down in that respect.
Yeah.
And you've like...
Yeah. Because I was okay, and I failed my A-levels because I wasn't very good at those courses, but now I'm a managing director of an agency.
Like, imagine if instead of doing English combined, you got taught about marketing, do you know what I mean? Or something like that, so then you knew you were interested in that, and it wasn't until because I know you failed your A-levels, and it was only through clearance that you discovered media.
Yeah.
Like, it shouldn't be left up to failing.
Or fate in a weird way.
Forced into that position. Like, imagine if they showed you an option which was a bit like marketing or a bit like media, and you were like, oh, that's kind of interesting. You were naturally drawn to that. And then you go on that way. That seems like a good way of doing it.
It's like the careers people at school, when you fill out that questionnaire and you come out with it at the end and it tells you what you should be. You will be A. I think I got teacher. But just that, like, even the careers advisors aren't, like, when I did it, I don't know if it's changed now, but they weren't up to date with what was going on in the world. I didn't even realize that there was this whole hundreds and hundreds of people just in Manchester working in media and marketing. I didn't even realize that existed when I was at school.
Right.
So we need to make changes. We need to be helping children rather than just helping them to pass exams. And I really feel like it's down to us as businesses to make that change and help future-proof their knowledge. We put a little snippet of the Telegraph talk on my LinkedIn last week, and the response from other businesses has been really good, and I'd like to thank you all for that. I'd also like to ask if you think there's any way that we can be making differences as businesses within the UK and growing businesses, entrepreneurial businesses, on how we can change the education system. Please comment and please let us know, and we would love to hear from you. That leads us to the end of this week's podcast. I hope you have a fabulous weekend, and please subscribe and obviously rate us 5 stars, because we are 100% 5-star reviewed. And if you subscribe, you will hear on Monday all about how you do not have to fit in. And I'd love you to join us for that. So please subscribe to us now. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next week.